So God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. It's all over the Bible, not just in 1 Peter chapter 5, not just in our gospel reading that we read, but virtually all throughout the scriptures. I would be surprised if there wasn't one book of the Bible that somehow didn't reflect this theme in one way or another. It is just foundational to our understanding of our relationship to God and how it is that we live our lives. But why? Let's ask ourselves that question. Why? Why does God oppose the proud and give grace to the humble? It's simply because this is the way that God works. God works by grace. And so those who find themselves doing the opposite, exalting themselves, are going to find themselves in opposition to the very way that God works in our lives. The two are diametrically opposed. And so of necessity then, God opposes those who are proud. So what we are saying is that God opposes the proud because the proud oppose God. You think about pride and how it acts. What are its characteristics? Pride refuses to bend the knee before God. Pride hardens its heart against God. Pride will not confess sins. Pride does not seek forgiveness. And so anyone who is acting in those ways, you can understand how they are going to be opposed by God. In fact, the person who is proud doesn't know or feel the need for any of those things. So pride resists God at every turn. Oh, and by the way, this also is true with your relationship with other people, not just with God, right? So yes, God opposes the proud, but pride brings difficulty in our relationships with other people as well. How many relationships, friendships, marriages have been destroyed because of a foolish pride? How many arguments, divisions, and wars have been caused because of pride? Today, as we come to communion, we're going to sing that song, Foolish Pride. It's going to remind us of the destructive nature of pride. And it is a prayer asking God to break down our foolish pride. But as much as God opposes those who are proud, he also loves humility. And again, let's ask ourselves the question, why? And you can see the answer already. It's so very logical, because humility does what pride will not do. Humility immediately recognizes its need for God. It is ready to confess sins. It is eager to hear God's word. And it is excited to be obedient to God and live in ways that are pleasing to him. And so it becomes easy to understand why there's grace for those who are humble. But it's very important for us at this point to recognize one other point. Because if I stopped here, we could get the wrong impression. And what I want to impress upon you this morning is that humility does not come from within ourselves, but rather it is something that God gives to us. Because we would be led astray this morning if I just stopped here, because you could go away thinking that, oh, well, the answer just simply is to be humble. That if I just go out and if I'm humble, then I will have God's grace, I will get it, and everything will be fine. But you understand that's works righteousness, right? So that's not what we are talking about. The problem is that we cannot be humble in and of ourselves. You can't be. You can't just go out and be humble. Why is that? That's because of your sinful nature. And at the very heart of our sinful nature is pride. That was the very first sin. The sin of Satan was pride. And our sinful nature has, as a major component, pride. So that we don't think that we really need God. And we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And haven't you been there? Haven't you experienced that? Probably more often than you like throughout the week. All of a sudden you realize you haven't even been paying attention to God. You haven't thought about Him in hours, days, maybe since last Sunday. And you've lived your life that like you really don't need God at all. That you can take care of things yourself. And you're thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought. And that, in fact, is pride. And the very fact of the matter is that even if we are able to be humble, to go out and be humble, the problem is that we are often proud that we were so humble. So where does humility come from? It is not by nature a part of ourselves. It is alien to us, outside of us. So it comes to us in Christ. And this is always the answer, right? Always the answer is found in Christ. Christ was humble. If you were going to illustrate this point, what Bible passage might you use? Where would you go in the scriptures to show this? Great place would be Philippians chapter 2, right? And we recognize that Philippians chapter 2 is the epistle reading that we read on Passion Sunday. And what's Passion Sunday? That day when we read all about the passion, the crucifixion of Christ. Right? That reading sets us up for understanding the ultimate act of humility that Christ did. Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul said, Philippians 2. Beginning of verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see the humility of Christ, who is God. And yet he was not so proud that he wouldn't take on human flesh. That he didn't think of himself as being so far above us that he wouldn't come to serve us. And so he did. He humbled himself and became a human being and lived in our world. And not only that, but he took it another step. He humbled himself to the point of death. Yes, even the most ignominious death, death on the cross, so that he was held up naked before the whole world as a horrible sinner, one that should be put to death, that is not worthy of living. That's how Jesus humbled himself. And because he did that, God the Father exalted him, lifted him up, so that there is no name above his, that every knee and every knee will bow to him. What's the point? The point is that Christ, who is humility, is yours in baptism and through faith. See, that's where our humility comes from, as we are connected to Christ, as he lives within us. It displaces and fights against that sinful nature, the pride that we have. And that as we are connected with Christ and we live in Him, that we can begin to be humble like He is. And so we have it, this promise of God upon which you could build your life, that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so our way of life is not to go out and try to exalt ourselves, but is rather to be people of service. We've seen through the example of Nebuchadnezzar how God opposes the proud. And we've seen in Jesus Christ how He exalts the humble. And so now, as Jesus talked about in His parable, we don't seek the highest seat, the seat of honor. That's not something that we need to worry about or be concerned with. But rather, our concern is about those who are in need, as Jesus served that man with dropsy. As after the parable, then He said, "And when you hold a dinner, go out and invite the poor and the lame and the blind and those who are in need. Let God worry about the exaltation part, and He will do that." But you see, this enables us to live as servants of God, to live humbly before Him, and to begin to fulfill one of my favorite Bible passages from Micah chapter 5. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. In Jesus' name.